Oh.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. We're glad that you're all here with us, and we extend a special welcome to those who may be visiting with us for the first time or newly arrived to this community. We hope that you are warmly welcomed by those who are seated around you in this sanctuary as we worship together today. Please take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find at the inside pew and pass them down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. If you would like to be on our Providence Publicist weekly emailing list, please include an email address if we don't otherwise have it, or if you haven't been receiving that recently, please let us know so that we make sure that our lists are updated for you. Please plan to join us for a time of fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary after the service today. Within that hope room, you will find a basket for cards for Danielle and Gordon, who were married on Wednesday. It's the second week of our shower of cards for them. And if you would like to just sign a card, there is a card there that you may add your signature in support of them. I think they are moving today, so it's been a very busy week for them in this time. Deacons are reminded that we are meeting this morning, 11:45 till 12:30. We'll be downstairs in the We Believe classroom so that the upstairs may be used by the PNC when they get ready to meet at noon. At 4 o'clock this afternoon, Reverend Ginny Smanek, who has been our parish associate for the last 4 years in this congregation officially, is going to be installed in her new congregation. I will be going to that service. If there's anyone else who would like to carpool over for it, we will be leaving from here about 2:40, 2:45. So let me know if you're interested after the service so that we can be in touch on that. There are sign-ups on the mission bulletin board as well as on the sign-up board for upcoming mission activities, both on June 21st, the Pride Festival booth, and the Camp Street Workday. So if you can help with either of those events, we would really love to have your participation. And I believe there are a couple of other special announcements. High school mission trip participants, adults and youth, are reminded that I need to know today if you are going to be coming by name. To confirm that, all of the materials are on the mission bulletin board, the print materials, if you had trouble printing them out this week from the email, and if you could bring those next week with your contributions, that would be really helpful so that I don't have to track you down the week following to get them in. Other announcements, I know we have Julia.
Just a reminder, next Sunday is our Youth and Confirmation Sunday, where all the youth in our confirmation class will be leading us in worship. And we have 9 confirmands getting confirmed and 2 of them being baptized. And then after that, we hope you'll all join us for the picnic in Lippitt Park. Bring your own lunch and lawn chairs or picnic blankets, any games. There's going to be no coffee hour, so everyone should join us for lunch at Lippitt Park.
And mentors are reminded that we would very much like you to stand with your confirmands as they are received next week as well. Any other announcements?
On June 15th, after coffee hour, we're going to be having a violin and viola recital. Everyone is welcome.
Yes. Monica Vanderbond, students from this congregation are going to be in recital after coffee hour at the 15th. Thank you.
Jerison and I are leading a Bible Academy, a study of the scripture, and we're ready to begin the second section of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark. And we know that some people signed up that they had interest, but maybe they're busy elsewhere, like the choir maybe, so I'm preaching to the choir for a moment. If you want to study the scriptures, we will be open for business next Sunday and through the summer. We begin with Mark chapter 6, verse 6, B, next week. If, perchance, anybody with young children wants to come and needs child care, I believe the Nurture Committee is prepared to provide that. So hopefully we'll see you next Sunday at the Bible Academy, upstairs in the couch's room, 9 o'clock, and it is comfortable. And did you want to, may I refer?
If you are a parent that has a young child who would, these are, children probably under the age of 10. After that, the children older can go to Bible study with the grown-ups over the summer if they choose. But we will have someone downstairs, I promise you. But if you are going to plan to come, let me know so I'll know how many children we should plan to entertain between 9 and 10 o'clock.
Others. Please join with me in the responsive call to worship. Praise God who has raised Jesus Christ to reign in power.
Praise God who sends the Spirit to empower the church.
Praise God with trumpet sound. Praise God with flute and harp.
Praise God with timbrel and dance.
Praise God with strings and pipes. Let everything that breathes praise God.
Good morning. Join me in standing as we sing.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be.
Beyond any human strength or power to make things right with God, Jesus intervenes. In confidence, then, of this promise of salvation, let us come, confessing our sin and brokenness as we pray, first in silence, then together using the prayer in our bulletin. Together we pray. God of life and death, we confess that sometimes we are not alive to the possibilities you offer. In the midst of pain, unfairness, fear, and injustices, we prefer to stick to the ways known to us. We feel despair for the state of the world around us, but we do not turn to you for inspiration and help. Forgive us. Push away our complacency and our desire for orderly lives. Show us how to be open to the Holy Spirit and to the new life you offer. Through Jesus Christ, amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession, verse 3 of How Blessed Are Those in the large hymnal. Friends, believe this good news. In Christ's saving, the power of sin over human life is broken. A new relationship of love with God through Jesus Christ is now possible. Let us rejoice. Amen.
Praise the mountain fixed upon. precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts
above. It's time during which we share our joys and concerns as a church family. Are there any concerns or joys that people would like to share this morning?
Yes, I have a concern. It's for a student at Class Eagle High School. He's a senior. He's also at Boston Children's Hospital, and he's really very sick. He needs a new heart, and so I would appreciate your prayers for him. Thank you. His name is Devin. His name is Devin. Sorry.
Prayers for Devin, a senior at Classical High School who needs a heart transplant.
Morning, we'd like to share a joy for the safe and healthy arrival of baby Ogden Roman. He's 3 weeks now. His big brother's very excited. And also for the safe arrival of my mom, who's been visiting for a week. So thank you everyone for your prayers and for everybody who brought meals as well.
And for you that brought meals, your dishes are in the back, so pick them up during coffee hour. I'd like to share a joy. I've just returned from Missouri visiting my family and my brother, who we have been praying for, as well as churches across the United States. He has been declared cancer-free and has gone home and is ready to live life. So it was fabulous to see him. I also had the opportunity. Sorry, it makes me cry. I had the opportunity of visiting a Presbyterian church in Prairie Village, Kansas, Village Presbyterian. I went to one of their women's groups while I was there, and a dynamic group of women, and they asked me to send blessings and greetings to you from their church, and I've invited them all here to come visit us. So if you see a group of dynamic women, 65 years plus, that's them.
My birthday was last Wednesday.
How old were you?
Seven.
One of my very dear friends, Bill, is a Presbyterian pastor in Indiana, and this is his last Sunday serving in a church that he's been in for 12 years. And he's going to move into an interim pastor very soon. So I'd like prayers, thanksgiving for the ministry he's done there, as well as for the transition, both for him and for the church.
I just wanted to ask for prayers for my mom again. She said the retreat was the two best weeks of her life. They had a wonderful time. and she was feeling really good, and then yesterday morning at 1:30 they had to take her to the ER. She was having intense pain and could hardly breathe. And they think it's probably pneumonia again. They're not quite sure what the infection is. I talked to my dad this morning, and he had church commitment, so he hadn't been at the hospital, but he had talked to my mom on the phone, and she was in so much pain and out of breath she could hardly tell him what was going on. But she had been awake since like 2 a.m. because of the pain. So just prayers for them. I think this is a huge downer for her, obviously, after being on such a high and feeling really good to have this strike again. So thank you.
I will be starting CNA classes tomorrow. So for the next 2 months, I will be studying and working absolutely crazy because I also accepted a new job at a Piece of Paradise down in Exeter. So I have like 3 jobs and going to school at the same time. So just prayers for that, please.
Our son Todd, who had thyroid surgery, he had his thyroid removed about 3 weeks ago, continues to recover well. He's still on medical leave, but we're going to be with him this afternoon. He's going to make burgers in his backyard, and you know you can't do that if you're sick. So thank you for your prayers, and let's continue to pray because it's not over yet.
Tomorrow is my 7th birthday.
We also have a concern and a joy to share. One concern is that Dawson has been fighting an ear infection for over a month, and luckily we are seeing our good friend Dr. Sharon Goodson on Tuesday, and we're hoping that it may heal on its own, but if he does need tubes, we know that we'll be in good hands. Secondly, we'd like to share that we had listed our house for sale last Saturday, and we sold it this week. So in less than a week, our house has sold, and we are so thankful and relieved that this process is coming to an end for us. Thanks.
I have a concern and a joy. The concern is that my husband's been out of work for about 5 months now, and it's been a long and frustrating job search, so we're just really hoping that something will pan out soon. The joy, some of you may remember last year, we really struggled with finding a kindergarten for Ken, so much so that we ended up keeping him in preschool for an extra year. We were really excited a couple weeks ago when he lotteried into our top choice in Providence. We were amazingly thrilled this week when we found out that he's been offered a full tuition scholarship to the Grace School at Meeting Street. So we are just really, really glad that things have worked out the way they are and that we have 2 good choices now.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Oh, Father, I tell you, thank you. I tell God, I said, I won't go to other town. I will manage to go to other town. Because I sit down so long, I'm tired. I won't go to other town. And God make a way for me to get me to other town, to bring me back. So I tell God, thank you. And with me always, I tell you, thank you for your prayer. Pastor, prayer, church member, choirs, I tell everybody, thank you. Because I'm feeling the prayer over here. I tell God thank you for everybody, for Christ's sake.
Amen. We invite your prayers for our friend John and his family, who John passed away this week. Thank you.
Thank you for praying for my brother's mother-in-law. She had surgery about 10 days ago for lung cancer, and they removed everything, and her lymph nodes were clear, and so she's done and doesn't need chemo. So it's really kind of an amazing outcome, and we're really grateful to God for that. And just prayers for ongoing good health for her. Her name is Ajab. And I also would love prayers for a number of grad students at Brown who have recently graduated last weekend and are in significant transition and moving, just for God's presence to be with them. Specifically, if you could pray for Amber, Marquita, Jessica, Jenna, Sarah, and Noel. Thanks.
Please pray for my friend Jen. She had complication after C-section. So just pray for fast healing. Thank you.
Walter really needs our prayers now. We found out last week that there are no more treatment options for him at this point.
Prayers for my brother. He has a very, very bad fever.
Let us pray. God of life and love, hope and justice, into this world you came to redeem life, to call us to deepening faith, to witness to the ends of the earth the power of your grace and presence. We pray, O Lord, for our world, for places torn by division and strife, anger and hatred, war, and even for those places where movement is being seen toward peace. O Lord, heal our world. Make us mindful of that call to be agents of peace, hope, justice, and love. In the midst, O God, of so much swirling in good and bad times, we know that you are ever with us, that even as we feel sometimes the highs of prayers answered, we also need prayers to be heard. O God, you do bring new life, and we see it again and again, and we give thanks for those joys, for Ben and Leah's birthdays, for the healing power that you've shown forth in Barbara Claflin and Cheryl's brother Jim, for Todd, for Leah's birthday, and Beatrice's back from travels and back to our community here, for Asha. We pray, O Lord, that you would continue to work your healing presence in those places where we have experienced that joy and keep us mindful of those blessings. We pray for those who continue to seek your healing, for those who have been named and unnamed here today, for Hugo in his fever, for Melinda, for Devin, for Joe's mom, for Dawson, for Jan. You know the prayers that are needed. You know that the healing that is needed in each of these circumstances, and we ask your presence with them to strengthen them in these days. We continue, O Lord, to lift up those who grieve, for Vivian still traveling in Ghana, for her grandmother, for John's family in his death this week. Lord, you are the Lord of all phases and times of life and transition, of which there is so much in these days. We give thanks for new birth and the wonder of new stages, for journeys even to the end of life. We thank you for the Johnson family here with us today and the safe arrival of Ogden and Elena's mother. We pray for Sujay as he starts his mission to Uganda yesterday, for Gordon and Danielle as they move into a new apartment and new life together in this week's marriage, for Erica balancing work and school, for the Bernier family as they continue to look for work and celebrate the new school opportunities for Kenny. For Amber, Nikita, Jessica, Sarah, and Noel embarking on new paths. Lord, you are the God of all of life, in good and in hard times. We lift to you Walter, who we've prayed for so long and so much in these days, as his treatment options are limited. May you grant him a quality of life and a presence of spirit that sees him through these days and strengthens him and Judy in these days ahead, and particularly as Judy travels. We pray, O Lord, as well for the work of your church, ever reaching for transformation, drawing ever closer to you and your intent for this world. We give thanks for brothers and sisters in our presbytery and larger denomination for the welcome to Cheryl from Village Presbyterian. We pray for the work of our pastor nominating committee, reading new applications as we speak, for new officers being trained to take office in this time, for the faithfulness of church school, adult, and confirmation teachers as we seek to grow in faith, for all your leaders at work in these days. We lift to you Pastor Ginny as she officially begins this ministry in Hampton, Connecticut, today in celebration. And we pray for Bill's last Sunday in Indiana as he moves into a new and interim ministry. For his church and our church as we continue in transition. Help us, O God, to know and reach for your presence always as we pray together the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The children are excused to go down to their class this morning, the Godly Play and the We Believers.
Good morning. Let us pray. Lord, our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us the grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 68, verses 1 through 10, and 32 through 35. I knew I'd have to pull out the cheaters at one point along the line here. And if you could really see how big the print is in this Bible, you'd realize how sort of sad this is. Okay. Let God rise up, let his enemies be scattered, let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be joyful, let them exult before God, let them be jubilant with joy. Sing to God, sing praises to his name, lift up a song to him who rides upon the clouds. His name is the Lord, be exultant before him. Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God gives the desolate a home to live in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious live in a parched land. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked. The heavens poured down rain at the presence of God, the God of Sinai. at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Rain and abundance, O God, you showered abroad. You restored your heritage when it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth, sing praises to the Lord. O riders in the heavens, the ancient heavens, listen, he sings out his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God in his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. And the New Testament lesson is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Today's reading is one of those that we can kind of maybe have a hard time getting our heads around. There stands Jesus talking to his disciples. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this conversation, he disappears up into the sky, hidden by a cloud. And they stand there staring up. They might have stood there for a real long time if two men in white robes hadn't come and stood beside them and said, "Why are you staring up?" I think it'd be a natural tendency if somebody just disappeared up into the sky to stand there and stare. I don't think they're doing anything at all abnormal. It's a hard thing to imagine something like this actually happening. But isn't that what the resurrection is too? Things in faith, things that we read in Scripture, don't necessarily always make sense and they cannot be scientifically explained. So we look at this text today and we kind of go, well, no. And those poor disciples, they're still stuck on this whole idea that the Messiah is somebody who's going to come back and restore the throne of David and everything's going to be sunshiny and wonderful and great like it was when David was on the throne. They're still asking Jesus, when is this going to happen? Wouldn't this be a good time? And Jesus is saying, God's time is when it's going to happen. And we don't know when that's going to be. And these men tell them, and Jesus will come back the same way he left. And so they are given a promise that Jesus will return. And they're in this in-between. Well, he's left and he's going to come back. Problem is, we're still in the in-between. We heard a lot about transitions and requests for prayers this morning. We're in transition, it seems, permanently. There's always something shifting, always something changing. And what these disciples are doing, looking to Jesus, Jesus has been their beacon. Jesus has told them what to do, when to do it. They've walked with him. They've eaten with him. They've gotten tired with him. They've gotten hot and sweaty and dirty with him. And now he's leaving them. And everything they thought he was going to do hasn't happened. And they want to cling to Jesus. He's been their leader. That's the natural thing to do. So it takes these men in the white robes to get their attention back down on earth and say, hey guys, you got stuff to be doing, move on here. You can't keep looking back at Jesus all the time. If you go around the rest of your lives looking up, you're likely to get an unfortunate accident. Have you ever tried walking looking up? I have. There's something up there in the sky that looks so fascinating, and you're walking along and you just stumble. We can't keep our eyes looking up. Neither can these disciples. So they do a very interesting thing. They go back to the room upstairs that they have been in so much lately since Easter. And they gather together with other disciples, with Jesus' family. It even mentions Mary and his brothers. And they pray together. What we're missing in this text is what Jesus had directed them to do, which was to go wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows these disciples. He knows they need a lot of help. They're the ones that have, you know, fought among themselves about who's going to be, you know, the first next to Jesus in heaven. They're the ones that have run away from him at the time of the crucifixion. Jesus knows they are going to need help. And he has promised them, and we talked about it in the last week's reading,
He has promised them the coming of the Holy Spirit to help them. So they go back to this upper room and they gather together in a group and they pray. They pray in a group for understanding and for the coming of this Holy Spirit. I think they sound like a bunch of Presbyterians. They're gathering in a group to pray, to gain insight, wisdom, and to search for the power of the Holy Spirit. It's been my theme this week. It's what Presbyterians do. We do it really well. We gather together in groups. And people will laugh about the committees of Presbyterians, and I will hold fast to those committees as long as I possibly can. Because when I'm sitting in my room by myself and I'm thinking and thinking and I'm having a conversation with myself, I don't get very far. I agree with myself a lot. It's hard to hear that other point of view in conversation with yourself. And sometimes your mind gets fixed on a one track and you can't seem to get it to go anywhere else. So it's important that we gather together like these disciples did. And it may seem like they're doing a bunch of navel gazing, sitting there praying when maybe they should be doing something. I mean, really. And yet, how can they do something unless they have a clear vision of what they are supposed to be doing? And so they pray and they are waiting for this Holy Spirit to guide them, to inspire them, to help them see what they are supposed to be doing. I keep thinking about churches like this one that are in transition between pastors. There is a tendency, not that any of you would do this, to want a pastor just like, name it, fill in the blank. You'd like somebody just like that because that's known. You know who that person was, how they did things, and how they did things was so exciting and wonderful and good, and gee, wouldn't it be great if we could have somebody just like them? And it's so easy to want that sort of thing to happen again. And yet these times in between pastors are a time when it is time for the congregation to be trying to figure out who we are as God's people, who we are as God's children, and what God is calling us to do. We're not to be sitting around here waiting for some wonderful new preacher to come in here and say, okay, now we're going to go do this, folks. Because that's not the way God works. God works in community. There were disciples, right? It wasn't just Jesus. There were 12 disciples that worked with Jesus. He wasn't a lone ranger. And so in a time like this, when we are trying to discern the future of the congregation, it's not a time for us just to be sitting around going, well, we'll wait for the new pastor. No, this is the time for us to be gleaning ideas of who we are, what we would like to do, what we would like this new pastor to help guide us to do. One of the things that was on the interim study report was that the congregation is seeking somebody who will be a, a planner, you know, somebody who's going to do strategic planning. Does that mean we're just going to sit here and wait for this person to come along and say, okay, here's the plan? If we don't have some part in it, we have no investment in it. And what I'm afraid could happen is that, yeah, we'll wait for the strategic planner to come along and wait to see what the plan is. But if you've worked with groups, you know that if somebody comes and say, do this, do this, do this, well, yeah, they'll do it maybe. But they wouldn't be really into it, would they? This congregation has said that they are not minister-centered, but ministry-centered. And yet what I see happening all too often right now is that the ministers end up doing an awful lot. And so there needs to be a commitment from everybody. The ministers, you know what? I hate to tell you, we didn't get magic wands when we were in seminary, and we were not taught to walk on water. I don't know. Maybe that was a class I missed. But a congregation is all of the people together. Like I told the kids, you know, open the doors, and here are the people. And that's what makes the church. It's not the minister. It's the people. And this is a time to be committing ourselves to this congregation and its work together and its future. And it's not about saying, oh, we would like a youth group. It doesn't work that way, because that means Pastor Chris ends up leading the work youth group and sitting on the phone, on email, doing everything else to find out who in the world is going to commit to this mission trip. Or events that have been planned fall through because nobody's available after it was on the calendar for 3 months. It takes commitment, not just from pastors, but it takes commitment from the congregation as well. And you don't know what God is leading this congregation to do unless we take the time to pray, to study Scripture, to talk together, to reflect, and not just settle for just going on doing the same old thing, because that's what we've always done and it's easier. The disciples pray together. The PNC prays together. They gather together. They read these dossiers. And as individual members of that group read these dossiers, they're sitting there hoping that the Holy Spirit goes tapping them on the shoulder and says, yeah, look at this one. This one's going to be great for this congregation. It's a God, people, pastor partnership where we all must work together. And don't wait for a pastor to come along who has the magic formula. Look to God. And maybe don't look back. But yes, look up to God. Because that's exactly what that psalm is about. That psalm is about God's presence throughout time, throughout history. And it reminds us that God was with the Israelites in the wilderness, leading them to a new place in a new time, a new way of life, leaving everything behind them. They had to quit talking about Egypt and how great it was to know they would have food on the table and live with what God gave them for each day. And God did provide for them each day. And they entered the promised land and they had new lives. But even then, things weren't perfect. And they had to continue to rely on God's presence with them to lead them to each new future. And that is what we must do. Even as we sit and say, come, Lord Jesus, come. We must be looking to what God wants us to do now. Joining hands, praying, asking for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill us with a vision for Providence Presbyterian Church, and to lead a pastor here who can help us fulfill that vision that God has given to us. Let us pray. Creator God, you have been with us from the beginning of time. When darkness hovered over the face of the earth, you said, let there be light. And you continue to create. You continue to be with us, involving us in that new creation. Help us to partner with you, God, and seek your will. The Providence Presbyterian Church. Help us catch the vision of how we are to be your children. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Will you please stand and join me in the affirmation of faith from the Confession of 1967. The life, death, resurrection, and promised coming of Jesus Christ has set the pattern for the Church's mission. His human life involves the Church in the common life of all people. His service to men and women commits the Church to work for every form of human well-being. His suffering makes the Church sensitive to all human suffering, so that it sees the face of Christ in the faces of persons in every kind of need. His crucifixion discloses to the Church God's judgment on the inhumanity that marks human relations and the awful consequences of the Church's own complicity in injustice. In the power of the risen Christ and the hope of his coming, the Church sees the promise of God's renewal of human life in society and of God's victory over all wrong. Let us now praise and thank God by bringing forth our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Lord, please bless these gifts with your spirit, that they may be used to further your will on this earth, in our community, and beyond. Amen.
Come from east and west and north and south to sit at table in the kingdom of God. This is our Lord's table, and he invites everybody to come to this table and share in this celebration.
Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, God of majesty and splendor. By your power, you created all that is, making a universe out of chaos and ruling over all things in love. Throughout the ages, you have called your people to love and serve you and to be your light to the nations. When we failed you, you did not fail us. We praise you that in the fullness of time you revealed your love by sending your son Jesus to be the light of the world. He came to heal our brokenness and to set before us the ways of justice and peace. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your son, our Lord, born to dwell among us, full of truth and glory. Baptized by John in the Jordan, he lived for you, spoke your truth, showed your love, and gave himself for others. In his death on the cross, he overcame death. Rising from the tomb, he raised us to eternal life and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we wait for the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. And now we come to your table, O Lord, we pray. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, when he was seated with his disciples, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, he took the cup from the table, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink from this cup, drink in remembrance of me." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come to the table.
Of Christ.
The body and the blood of Christ.
Let us pray. Eternal God, you have graciously accepted us.